trilobite.
See that?
Oh, yeah.
It's literally a fossil.
Yes. I wonder what that is.
I'm inclined to think it's a plant of some sort.
Yeah.
Because it looks like palm fronds, but this is a fossil in through here.
It's kind of
an ancient sea fossil, sea creature, or sea plant of some sort that's now fossilized in the limestone bedrock. All right, so we're approaching the Eastern Temple of the Great Pyramid, this black basalt paving floor, which is the area that has the highest concentration of saw blade cuts all through this area. But this is also where things start to get very, very weird and immediately contradict the conventional narrative of these so-called solar boat pits. So take a look at this here. Okay, so you see the huge vein? We've been talking about these veins. You see how it starts somewhere in the core of the pyramid, and then it's leading out this way. Leads directly into this pit. And you'll notice if you look around from this angle here, all of this has been removed. You see these modern bricks here?
Oh, yeah.
That whole thing was originally eroded out. So again, these modern bricks here, this huge eroded piece here leading down into the pit. And you can see on the other side where these veins, you see that fill in right there?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
A piece of the vein on the other side. So these veins run through the pit and down in this direction.
So these are mainstream interpretation is that these are holding pens for boats.
They call these solar boat pits that were buried along with the pharaoh.
Right.
However, okay, so now we're going to start here. Go back to these modern blocks.
Yeah.
And we're going to follow it into this channel system. You see this channel running in this direction here?
Yep.
Starting from the Eastern Temple, this channel runs directly
into the pit.
So we have some severe contradictions in terms of functional components in this area that are connecting both the iron vein network and this conduit and channel system directly into these so-called boat pits. So now we'll follow the channel back toward the eastern paving, and I'll show you a couple more. You can just keep rolling because there's another part of the system over here.
Oh, I'm rolling.
Okay, so this piece here, again, if you follow this directly in that direction, is another piece of that same conduit system that leads out to a component called the so-called trial passages. And we can take a look at that because there's some weird stuff over there. And now we're going to pick back up on the trail of this conduit system, and then I'll lead you around the paving and show you the saw cut. So we have this conduit system leading again. It points directly into the huge eroded pit flowing down into the so-called boat pit, and we follow the conduit system back in through here. It ran up in this direction, in through here. You pick it up back here again. This is the same channel that leads off in that direction. We're just going to follow it.
I'm a fucking jerk.
And it literally runs underneath. So this was the paving stone. This was the floor of the temple. So this channel that we're currently walking through was hidden below the black basalt paving stone floor of the temple. And then there's another one that leads directly into the second boat pit. So you can follow this conduit. And you can see, if you just follow it straight, you can see where this channel goes in this direction. And then there's another piece of it you can see where it would have come in through here. This part here. And you can see the termination of the channel piece here again, connecting directly into the boat pit. So this is, again, that same piece of channel that snakes back around.
Yeah. So what do you think was being channeled through these?
This, in my opinion, is part of the product distribution network. So we're talking about infrastructure, chemical manufacturing infrastructure. So you have your manufacturing facility, and then you have all of the industrial infrastructure that connects all of the various components on the plateau that were related to metal ore mining and processing. So these are all industrial conduit connections. So now, let's take a look over here. So this is probably my favorite one.
What do you think about the arguments that these might be modern tooling marks?
It's certainly possible. There was a lot of, they actually had a modern road that used to run through here, like decades and decades ago. And when they were building the modern road, that's actually when they uncovered the fourth satellite pyramid. There's actually four satellite pyramids of the Great Pyramid.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So that is an argument that they're modern tool marks. However, on the other side of this black basalt paving, there is a saw blade cut. Chemical analysis has been taken of the material found in this saw blade cut, and it had several interesting things. First, arsenical copper, otherwise known as arsenical bronze, which is indicative of the metal saw blade. However, that's not really the most interesting part. They found angular, microscopic grains of both corundum and ilmenite. Okay, so corundum is the same mineral as ruby. It is the second hardest mineral on the planet, second only to diamond, and it was part of the abrasive slurry that was used in the cutting process. In my opinion, this is the mystery and the miracle of ancient stonework. Wasn't necessarily the composition of the blade itself, but it was the particulate abrasive slurry that was used in the cutting. So it had tiny microscopic particles of corundum and also ilmenite, which is an iron and titanium based mineral. So super hard, tiny little particles of this abrasive slurry that was used to facilitate the cutting process. And this was not necessarily proven, but certainly evidence thereof via chemical analysis of the samples that were taken. They've also taken them from these tubular core drills and found the same type of material where there is remnants of arsenical copper, which is known as arsenical bronze, a widely used metal throughout the ancient world. And another huge myth about Egypt is they say, oh, it was pure copper, 100% copper. That is absolutely false. It was an alloy of arsenic and copper that completely changed the properties of the material. You wouldn't make anything out of pure copper because it's a really, really poor metal to make saw blade out of. However, if you add in 10% arsenic, which is actually a naturally occurring component in a lot of the copper mines here in Egypt, that arsenic is part of the ore that was being extracted. It completely changes the properties of the metal, making it a much more capable blade. And they found microparticles of corundum in these saw blade cuts. Running through this piece here, where you can see the thickness of the blade, which is why I really like some of these. So you're looking at a blade that's about that thick.
Wow.
And the reason I disagree with the fact that these are modern, or the suggestion that these are modern, they weren't using power tools and huge saw blades up here to tear this thing apart. And we've found evidence of these saw blade cuts in other sites like Abu Sir, where it is very clearly part of the masonry process, not later destruction or dismantling of the site. All of the dismantling in quarries was done in the ancient time. It's not like they came up here with modern circular saws and started cutting this thing apart.
Right,
I don't think that's the case. So this piece here is super interesting because it demonstrates multiple stages of the stonework process. So you can see here the fine finish. You can see here vertical saw blade cuts where they were going to remove this piece in through here and make this into a 90 degree angle. You can see where it was started with the circular tube drill here, and then this part was also going to be removed. So imagine you're working this thing to a 90 degree finish here. You go in with the vertical saw, you cut this, and then they remove this raw material out to make this a 90 degree angle here. And this piece also has some really weird anchor points where you can see here that they were using multiple sizes of tubular drill. You can see this one is about, you know, an inch and a half, 2 inches in diameter. But then if you look over here, you can see really tiny ones.
Oh, wow, yeah.
That are, you know, just about the size of a fingernail here. So they had multiple circumference or diameter, whatever measurements you want to use for the tubular drill. And then this would have been the final product of whatever was anchored in here. There was a housing for something that would have anchored down in this piece. Weird shit that nobody ever shows on the Giza Plateau. We'll start here.